Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskans.
Welcome to Chinook. I'm Karen Michelle McPherson. In the past few years, there's been a growing movement in parts of the state to validate Alaska Native cultural heritage and promote ethnic pride and a knowledge of Native lifeways. In Northwest Alaska, there are two model programs. The Eskimo Spirit Movement of the Northwest Arctic Native Association and School District, headquartered in Kotzebue, and Kuwerak's Nome-based Eskimo Heritage Program. The Kotzebue program covers a fairly unified cultural area. All villages in the region are Inupiat Eskimo. But Nome's Eskimo Heritage Program includes an ethnically diverse group in its five villages, St. Michael, Stebbins, Gamble, Savunga, and Shishmaref. This program relies on the work of people like King Islander Margaret Sigana of Nome, field workers.
In the villages who are taping elders, their way of life and whatever was is in the culture, whatever they're keeping up, and whatever they did before the missionaries maybe, and before the schools came here. And we're keeping these, having them transcribed and translated, and whatever the village workers have will be kept in their village to use in the education program.
There are two field workers in each village, supervised and trained in documentation techniques by folklorist Judith Schumlinson. Folklore, she says, captures the essence of what it means to be a member of a particular group.
There are great differences among all the villages, and particularly in this region, because there are three different Eskimo cultures, three different languages, and besides that, there are always differences from one village to the other. I mean, I think sometimes people have a tendency to think of village life as being the same in throughout all the Alaskan villages.
Keeping in touch with the field workers is one of the challenges for Judith Schumlinson and Project Director Mary Alexander. There are no roads connecting Nome with any of the sites, and frequent airplane travel would be extremely expensive and unreliable given the fickle weather in the Bering Straits region. Mary Alexander.
We've been in contact with them through the Alaskan State Teleconference Network, and we were talking to them twice a month, and now during the summer we'll contact them once a month.
I just switched you on.
Okay, I heard it go on.
Okay, yeah, we're working, so I'll hang up the phone.
Yeah, try your mic, please.
Okay, thanks. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Eleanor, are you there?
Yes, we're here. We're waiting right here. Over.
Oh, boy, is it ever good to hear your voice. Over.
Okay, thank you. Are the rest of the villages on too?
No, you're first. Is Ennis with you?
No.
Sure, he's here.
I heard that. I just received your letter. Sounds like you're both doing great.
Yep, I think we are.
Listen, I have a new field worker here. He's a King Islander, and I'm going to get him to introduce himself to you, and maybe you can introduce yourself to him and tell him what you're doing and vice versa, you and Ennis, okay?
Okay, fine.
Hi, y'all. My name is John Pinatogan. I just started working last week, starting 23rd of last month. I think really interesting what I'm doing, and I hope to keep it up
Hi, Eleanor. Guess who?
Hi, Margaret. How are you?
Okay.
I'm sorry we didn't get the name of the man who was talking, please.
That's John Panettak. He's a King Islander, and he's going to work with the King Island elders over here in Nome. And I started him with his literacy, and he's coming on great.
This is John again. This morning I went over to Koyuk's house and talked about the kayak making. See if we can teach how to make kayaks to younger people. And he's willing to teach how to make kayaks. Probably for a while after the snow melts, he got to gather some driftwood. What I'm going to try to do is tape from elders, their lifestyle, and their dances. Over.
Slides are used extensively for documentation. One of John Panettak's first dance projects is sequencing a batch of slides taken of the King Island Dance Group's performance of the Wolf Dance at the Bering Straits Elders Conference in February. It was the first time in 50 years that the dance was performed, and a number of people videotaped, audiotaped, and shot still photos while Panettak performed in the dance. Now he'll work to present it in a different way. Panettak is in his early 40s. His counterpart in Nome, Margaret Sigana, is a good deal older. Her boys are John Penitak's age. She's been with the project since it began last fall.
When John came to work with us, we had him join us in the Kawera Kazan Elders Committee here from different villages, and they gather here on Friday, and we ask Mary and Judy try to find out what they want and what is important to keep up in the culture. And we had John here a couple of times with the elders. And after the elders' meeting, he told me that the being among the elders that way brought back a lot of memories of when he used to see those elders on King Island and when he was among the people. And he said there were some things that he had forgotten that just started popping up in his memory. And that's a good thing, really good.
Before joining the Eskimo Heritage Program, Sigana spent 3 years as a bilingual instructor in the Nome Elementary School.
And during those years, I kept finding myself more and more. And it got deeper and deeper into me. And what I find is that the children do not have the native spirit, and what they have gone through is something very different from what they would have gone through if their parents or their grandparents had raised them at least for 6-7 years. And here they're taken into the preschool very early, and they don't get the experience of being with natives in their own culture. So it's hard for these little children. And what we're trying to do, what we would like to do, would be to integrate the young people with the elders. Find some ways, maybe starting next fall, have the youngsters mingle with the elders. Eleanor, Margaret again. We were meeting with the King Island elders last Monday. It was last Monday. And their concern is that they don't have a place like they used to when they were down east and before the flood. and the community was down there. And the men used to go and carve to the hall. And they were there all day long. Kids were coming in and out, watching and listening. And they don't have this kind of thing anymore. And men are concerned about this. Because one older man told us, that's how he learned, watching, listening. And then when he felt confident, when he thought he felt confident, he tried to do things on his own. But he said there was always somebody watching. And if he was going to make a mistake, there would be somebody to tell him how to do it.
Yeah. We have interviewed and taken pictures of some different people doing this and that, sewing, making skin boats. I have good slides of it too.
Good. That's what we like to see.
Yeah, we were teaching the high school children how to put a skin boat covering this winter, and I took good slides of it with children, high school kids sewing on it. Even the boys were sewing on it. They were having a great time. I have good slides of them.
Eleanor, do you think you have enough slides yet to put together a slideshow?
During the conference, Schumlinson makes sure everyone has enough film and processing envelopes and gives some guidance on how to make a show from the boxes of slides that come back in the mail. But slides are just one medium.
They're collecting some oral history and some stories, but they're also collecting narratives of traditional knowledge. And we're also going to be doing some videotaping of dances and storytelling and any other folklore events as they're going on in the villages, celebrations, ceremonies, anything like that.
An elders committee in each village determines what gets collected, who from, and when. Mary Alexander.
We went into the village just and explained the programs and asked the elders to form a committee. In some instances, it's all the elders in the village form the committee. In others, it's only five or six. So the elders are actually running the programs.
The Eskimo Heritage Program has one more year of its two-year grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. If the federal funding does not continue, Alexander and Schumlinson hope that the villages will take it over. Regardless, there will be a trained cadre of local field workers in the Bering Straits region. Project Director Mary Alexander.
One of the offshoots of the program is that we will be training paraprofessional field researchers so that when people do come to the village and want data gathered, they'll be able to hire, you know, trained Native people to do it. And it gives the people in the village control over the information that's going out of the village and the questions that are being asked.
Project folklorist Judith Schumlinson.
It's definitely a good model of, you know, training local people to research this kind of information, but also to see local people as a resource.
The Nome-based Eskimo Heritage Program. I'm Karen Michelle McPherson. Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into Native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
I'm Karen Michelle McPherson. Welcome to Chinook and to sounds from the 1982 Savunga Walrus Carnival. The village of Savunga is on the north coast of St. Lawrence Island. The native language of the nearly 500 Eskimo residents is Siberian Yupik. And in fact, Savunga is closer to Siberia than to Alaska. The Russian coast is less than 100 miles away. Nome, the departure point to reach the island, is 130 miles distant.
Just walk around, enjoy the village. For time being, then it will start 2 o'clock this afternoon over at west beach here. Just follow that. And those of you who are there new, we'll have some of your friends secure. We're going to have a demonstration walrus hunt there, marriage ceremony, old style, and spear fighting. Somebody will die and they'll come back to life. And,
oh, good.
And then we'll have Medica's house. Your house is burning down, you know. And all kinds of sorts of activities, okay? We'll start serving at the school house by 12 o'clock. All right. Walk around the village, take some pictures. We're half an hour.
I'm Jerry Wangatillin, Sr. I'm the father of the Savunga Walrus Carnival.
The father of the Savunga Walrus Carnival?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, it all started around 1964. When I introduced it to the city councils first, they turned it down. So in 65, I introduced it again. It passed, finally passed. So from then on, we had year to year annual Walrus Carnival.
How did you come up with that idea?
Well, I thought about trying to promote tourism to Savunga, so why not have some kind of festival so I can promote tourism?
Is it working?
Yeah, it is working.
Did you get this?
I got it.
My stars!
Thank you.
That was close.
Yeah. That was...
It took me long enough.
That was good.
Yeah. I keep getting rambles up in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got changed.
Yeah? Oh, well, it better not be. This is my first toss.
Oh, boy. Pretty good, lady.
Yeah. Do you have to touch the seal?
Yeah, you have to touch it. That's fun.
Nice.
Should practice these at home.
Yeah.
You've got raccoons. I will next time I come here. See if I can catch the neighborhood animals. I do get one more turn, don't I?
Yeah.
We have a demonstration walrus hunting scene, which is in part main action of it. And also we have Eskimo dances, drama plays, field hockey contests.
Oh, okay.
Spin it around.
Like this, see?
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Oh, just let it go. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try.
Don't hold. Well, there's field. Don't hold it.
Oh, okay.
Let them loose.
Okay. Irene, you'll be next, huh?
Oh, pretty close, pretty close. Leave me a rattle for you.
Okay.
Tell you what, first, pretty close. Next time you get it.
Woo!
I better get your name.
I've heard that in the past years, the weather hasn't been so good. This year is exceptional.
Oh, yeah, this year, real nice, very beautiful weather, and everybody enjoying the real nice weather.
Do you usually have more of your events indoors, then?
Oh, yeah, as long as the weather holds good, we have more outdoor, yeah.
Way, everybody runs that way. Right? Make sure they land. They go that way, everybody runs that way. Right?
Volunteers place themselves around the rectangular 2-ugruk skin blanket for the blanket toss.
Any volunteers? Then a count of 1, Miss Pluckers. Miss Pluckers. One, two, three. Hold up. All right? Now make sure you, if they're going that way, just run, you know, make sure you land in the center. Any volunteers? Here comes one. Keep your legs steady.
Hold my legs steady like
this?
Yeah,
just watch the horizon.
Where is it? I don't have my glasses on.
Okay. Look at the horizon. All right. One, two, three.
Again?
Yeah. It's more harder, huh? One. Two! Oh. One more time. One more time, that's right. Pull back.
Okay.
Get that rope tighter, you know. Yeah, yeah, all right. One, two, three.
Kathy Nunwick, Louisa Pongari, Clarice Gallagher, Cecilia Nunwick.
Four of the 10 members of the Savunga Comedy Players. They performed often during the three-day Walrus Carnival.
We was Head Start parents one time. Was trying to make money for Head Start. We asked our city councils if we could demonstrate hunting scene. And we started, what year? 1970-something. And then we asked our city councils if we could demonstrate only one time. But after we done, they keep asking us if we could play next year and next year. And then we were invited by Elders Conference in Nome for several times. And then after that, we went to Fairbanks and Anchorage. And we went to Kayana, Katapu Kayana. We didn't expect that we were going to travel.
When you do it here in Savunga, like for the Walrus Festival, is it different than doing it someplace else?
Yes. Yes, that's real different. When we do it outside, seems like we're doing just only in groups. We never pay attention to the groups on the audience. But here, they know Eskimo way of life, so seems like we have so many backgrounds. We're trying to perform hunting scene. What the Eskimos place long time, celebrations.
Do you get people laughing more, or you know, that kind of thing?
Yes. Wherever we go, everybody laughs.
you said you did this to attract tourism. Why did you want tourists?
Well, it brings in money to it, you know. You do a lot of artwork here, art and craft work, and you sell a lot of it. And a lot of them came back every year then, once they find out.
How do you feel about having all these outsiders coming in every year?
Well, we felt pretty good about it, and we get to know them. Then once you get back, go back, they start ordering ivory carvings and stuff like that. You know, this is ivory capital of the world, so you know where to get it.
What do you see for the future of the Walrus Carnival?
Well, I think it's going to build up some more. And I'm hoping that I heard wings were going to start flying big twin engine now, so a lot bigger than what they were using.
Do you ever see a time when you might not want to have people come in for this?
Well, that's pretty hard to tell.
Well, you're here.
Sounds from the 1982 Savungo Walrus Carnival. I'm Karen Michelle McPherson. Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
Yes, see? Yes. Okay, very good. Okay, I'll have Doug on it right now. You're welcome, Nana. Bye-bye.
Al Adams is both an important state legislator. He chaired the House Finance Committee last session and president of one of the most successful village corporations formed after ANCSA, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. KIC, Kikitagruk Inupiaq Corporation, is the village corporation for Kotzebue. Kikitagruk is the Inupiaq Eskimo name for the community that is now known after an early 19th century Russian explorer, Otto von Kotzebue. Under ANCSA, village corporations could choose for-profit or not-for-profit status. KIC is incorporated as a profit-making organization with 2,021 shareholders, Alaska Natives enrolled to Kotzebue. Al Adams.
The village corporation has many activities. We have a 9 board of directors. In the board of directors, we have set up an investment committee, policy committee, scholarship committee, and a land committee. And what we try to do also is keep the administration cost at the minimum, with just myself and the secretary bookkeeper acting as one person there. In development, we are half owners of the Sunshine Plaza located in Anchorage, and that is outside, the only investment outside the region in this particular category. We have the Eskimo building here that we're presently in. We lease offices. And this building is a profitable organization. We also lease a building called Kotzebue Square, which is a building we lease to Alaska Commercial Company, a store. We also have 2 apartment complexes at this time here in Kotzebue, one a 41-unit apartment complex and a 29-unit apartment complex. Our financial portfolio shows that we have in Morrill Stanfield, a stock investment company out of Denver, approximately $1 million in stock. We also are the only village corporation in Alaska that owns stock in United Bank Alaska, bank with 6 other regional corporations. We also have money in a savings account at UBA, Alaska USA Credit Union, and we have made a couple other loans out to Alaska Commercial Company and the Nana Regional Corporation. Our new investment consists of looking at going in joint venture in construction, land acquisition. And we've also what we've got one more department called the Ombudsman, KIC Ombudsman program here. One of the things that we do for our people is look at the social end of it. We also look at the fish marketing here in town, make sure that we've got sufficient buyers. We try to help in any human services programs. We're not funding these programs, but we're showing them direction and how to get to it. One of the things that we don't have here is trying to take care of our elderly people, and we have to find out what programs they're eligible so we can help them, because we cannot legally give them more dividends than the others. So, and this is mainly what KIC has been doing. It is very hard since the Act 10 years ago to actually know what was a corporation and stock.
But in 10 years, the corporation has done well.
This year will be almost a profit of $800,000 this particular year. Next year, I'm projecting $1 million with this particular financial development and our investments that we have to make us a nice profit.
Do you employ consultants to help make the decisions regarding investments, or do you do that internally?
We do that internally. We don't. We try to do a check and balance on ourselves. We do have an accountant and myself, and we go through it and talk with the investment committee and go through a couple times checks and on different investments, and so we make sure they're feasible or we can afford those particular investments.
It sounds like some of the activities that you're involved with, for instance, the activities to, in effect, support elders and the scholarships, are not, in effect, profit-making activities. So you're really branching into a social services aspect as well. Is that correct?
That is correct, because we feel what we'd like to do also is even though we're supposed to be a profit entity, we've also have to look at our children, because we feel that if we can educate our children well enough, that perhaps that when they become adults, that they can handle the corporation and lead the corporation on a long-term basis. And the other thing is the elderly is we like to take care of our elderly. It's part of our custom and traditional way of life here.
Are you involved in any sort of training programs to bring up new leadership?
The only thing that we can do is we have a nonprofit here in Kotzebue set up for the whole region that we direct them towards, and that's Manelik. And what we have in the Nana region here is we got a cooperation of agreements that we work closely with all the associations here in the region.
What is the relationship between Kikitagrook and Nana and Manelik?
The relationship is very good, because in order we in fact serve practically the same people both in Nana and in KIC. Nana serves the whole region, and which includes Kotzebue Village Corporation, and we consist 42% of their population. So we have to work hand in glove. In fact, you can see that relationship is where the Village Corporation has loaned Nana some money on some of its ventures. And we have a good working relationships.
In terms of the, land situation, where there is a sort of subsurface and surface sharing, in effect, and a checkerboard pattern of land between village and regional corporations, has that created any problems here?
No, it hasn't. The reason it hasn't created any problems because there's hardly any resources in our particular land at this point. We have tried drilling some oil and haven't found a large discovery, so we haven't actually found any good resources to have any type of confrontment on. At this point, there is hardly anything to be developed here in our area, because we've just looked around, and we'd like to keep our way of life and subsistence and hunting and fishing at this point.
There are 164,500 acres of Village Corporation lands.
We have a land committee consisting mainly of our elderly people in town, and we've got a small one person on temporary working on our land problems and just to develop some policies. And I think that It's going to be the boards and the shareholders wish that we just hang on to our land and just keep it.
What do you feel is the most important role that this village corporation plays?
I think the most important role that we play is keeping the 2021 shareholders informed on the development of your village corporation. And once you have this, we place a radio program after each board meeting. We have an informal meeting in January and the formal meeting in for elections and what's going on in March, April. But I think this is the thing that the people need to know is what's happening with the corporate funds. And we have slowly built the corporation up, and we'll be looking at dividends here shortly, and not just for 1 year, but on a long-term basis. And so I think that's the most important thing, is just being active and watching and keeping our shareholders informed on what the board and the staff is doing with their assets.
How long have you been president?
About 3 years now.
Have there been many changes in the corporation since you've had office?
We've taken a real tight control of management and investments. When I took it over, the corporation was losing between $300,000 and $400,000 a year. It was time to look at the different types of investment and changes, and that's what we've done. And our check and balance system that we have developed between the investment and the staff, investment committee and the staff, and turned our investments around, and mainly leaving all the investments, not the large investment, the construction investments that you can visually see are left here in Kotzebue, in your region, and the ones that you have to do in your savings account are left here in practically all in the state of Alaska. The only thing we've got is outside is in stock in Denver. Of $1 million, and otherwise the rest of our assets are here in Alaska and mainly in our own community.
As a member of the state legislature, clearly your time has to be divided between Kotzebue and Juneau. Does that create any problems in continuity?
It does, as far as the time frame that I'm gone away from the Village Corporation. And what we do is we have put an interim president when I'm gone, who knows the system, and his name is Bill Fritch out of Anchorage, and we feel that the continuity can be made through phone calls and keep him informed of what's happening in the board minutes. And I'm not employed as president of Village Corporation when I'm gone down there because I'm in the legislature.
10 of the 11 village corporations in the Nana region, the Northwest Alaska Native Association, have merged with that regional corporation. Kikitagrook Inupiaq Corporation is the exception.
It has been brought up to the village corporation on a vote basis, I think it was in 79. And at this present time, the shareholders of the village corporation decided not to merge with Nana. One of our reasons is we feel that as a large village corporation that we can manage our assets here and then have control here in Kotzebue. And we can do more good for the people here in Kotzebue than if we did merge. But I'm happy to say that I'm glad to see the other smaller villages have merged with Nana, because I think in the long run it will help be a beneficial financially to the village corporation and its shareholders.
What do you see for 1991?
I see for 1991 that in the next 10 years that we're going to have to prepare is where that the shareholders of Kotzebue have to come up with a plan so that we will retain ownership of the stock of the land. And by that time, hopefully our assets will be great enough that we will be able to look at purchasing others outside the region, because I know there is going to be failure with stock and land throughout Alaska. And I hate to see it happen, but we should be ready to also to look at investing outside of our region as far as land and somebody else's stock. And if I hopefully that they'll look at Alaskans for Alaska, and so they, that the ownership can be retained by all Alaskans.
Adams calls the last 10 years a learning experience.
Because of the fact that none of us were prepared to run corporations, whether village or regional corporations, and never trained for this particular expertise or this particular field.
But in spite of that lack of specific training, the Kotzebue region has provided a number of leaders, Willie Hensley, John Schaefer, and Al Adams among them, says Adams.
They had to be leaders to lead this parade.
And Adams is planning to keep that forward movement.
I know that what we're going to have to do in the near future is all the village and regional corporations are going to have to work together to be more clandish, to start setting organizations up. That's the only way we're going to survive, and we've got to start looking at working with each other's investments and companies that they have in the state of Alaska to make us all beneficial and participate in the development of the state of Alaska. And I think that once we synchronize ourselves, that we'll find that we'll go a long ways and do a great deal for the state.
Al Adams, president of the Kikitaugruk Inupiaq Corporation. I'm Karen Michelle McPherson. Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.